I'm going in search of witches.
Witches?
Witches. Mm-hmm. I guess you found me out, huh? Yeah. You should come around here on Halloween. You'd really see something then.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we all jump off the roof and fly.
You know, sort of like a coven.
You're placed fester under some strange sexual spell.
At what time will we be spellcasting?
Hey there, witches, and welcome to Moonstone Witchery, the podcast where we talk about witchcraft and spirituality in a modern context. My name is Rianne Lockard, and I am so happy to be here with you all today. I wanted to talk about something that's an interesting concept, and there's a lot of opinions on this topic, and I also have an opinion, so I thought I would share it with you to give you some food for thought as you sort of work out your own space, place, and perspective on this one. So I want to talk about the idea of like predestination slash everything having like some ultimate spiritual lesson versus free will, and then the more extreme version of that, which is like that nothing has any meaning, right? So there's two ends of this spectrum. There is predestination, everything is kind of set. Soul contracts fall into this sort of concept. You know, everything, the next step on that continuum is kind of like everything provides me a lesson. There is a purpose in all of these things that are happening to me. And then all the way down to like some things can provide a lesson if I choose to accept it. And then the last one being like, this is all chaos and it's just random, right? So as you know, like most of life happens in the gray zone, but there are always like two polar extremes on one side or another that offer those other varying perspectives. Now, I am not a person who believes that everything has some type of lesson attached to it, or that we are experiencing hardships in order to dot, 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 really anything. And a lot of times that dot, dot, dot leads us to in order to learn things, in order to grow, in order to have a change. The reason I don't like this is because I don't ever think that people who have been abused or subjected to trauma have had those experiences in order to, right? I don't think that I had to go through like childhood trauma in order to become myself. In fact, at times in my life, I've deeply resented my childhood trauma because I have felt like, who would I have been? And that question had, for a period of my life, was rather haunting to me. Who would I have been if I hadn't had this trauma? Who would I have been if I hadn't been so diminished and controlled and misinterpreted back to myself and gaslighted in the formative years of my childhood, and literally as my brain was being hardwired, who would I have been? And as a sidebar for that, like those of you who have had the experience of being raised in mental, emotional, and like verbal abuse, you have been hardwired to not trust yourselves, especially if gaslighting was part of your upbringing. Like if you have been raised by someone with narcissistic tendencies who had the capacity or the default of interpreting you back to yourself in a way that was like, you did this on purpose because you knew it would upset me, when really you're just like little and trying to be helpful, or you are little and haven't really grown into that concept, because we have to grow into this concept that like other people exist and that your behaviors can influence other people. And so when you get interpreted back to yourself as being harmful when your intention was never that, it's really destabilizing as you are forming a sense of yourself, because that destabilization says the things I think I'm doing, the way I think I am, the person I believe myself to be, I am not a good judge of my own character. And yo, that is completely inaccurate. In fact, you are really the only person who can judge your own character. You are really the only person who knows why you're doing things and what your intention is. Now, you are able to learn, you know, different social cues, different ways of communicating, different ways of expressing yourself and offering what you're trying to offer. That's appropriate, right? We're not always going to immediately know how to be helpful or how to convey our intentions. So we're able to be malleable and learn different ways of operating and maneuvering in the world based on those points of feedback. But when it's on a foundational level and it's done from a place of abuse, it really like can be harmful to us to receive this kind of feedback that is just sort of like, I know who you really are and it's bad and terrible and wrong, right? And that's the kind of feedback that I received in my own childhood. So like all these things that I'm saying right now come from a very real and vivid place of my own self, like work and my own deconstruction of the misinformation I was fed as to the nature of reality, quite frankly. And so I want you to like be willing to deconstruct some of that for yourself as well, because it is not only possible, but it is probable, especially if you were brought up in abuse, that the feedback you received was inaccurate. It's more about the person giving the feedback than you receiving the feedback, especially at a young age. The problem with this is that you can't know that at a young age. You literally can't and don't know those things at a very young age. And as a sidebar to this sidebar that we're on, one of the problems with our memory is that when we go back into a memory of a time when we were harmed or abused, we're still seeing that memory through our own eyes, right? Memories kind of are recordings of experiences. And in the recordings, it's not like we're able to blip out into the third person and view it like a movie. We're still in the first person in our memories, viewing it through our own eyes as if like we're in like some type of video game or something. And this provides a lot of issues because when we go back and have a memory of a core trauma or something that happened to us when we were younger and we're looking at it through our own eyes, we don't remember to check ourselves. And what I mean by that is like you got to check yourself and be like, I was 7 years old. I was not the 36-year-old that I am now having that memory. I was the 7-year-old with the information that a 7-year-old possessed. And when we're remembering something through our own eyes that happened when we are 7, we're also not seeing how inappropriate the situation is. Because let's say in a memory, like I'll even share one of my memories with you, okay? I had done something that I thought would be helpful to my mother because she was having a bad day. And the thing I chose to do was clean up the dining room and set the table and all of those kinds of things. And so I did this to be really helpful, nice and kind. My mother, for whatever reason, at that time, probably because of her stress, she was in a space of not being receptive to the fact that I was being kind. And for whatever reason, she felt really burdened and like it was a big problem for her that I had done this thing. So what she told me was, you knew this would upset me. You're trying to make my day harder. I don't appreciate you being mean to me when I'm already having a bad day and you know that. Of course, 7-year-old me was like devastated by this because my intention was to do something else. When I'm only 7, number one, I don't know that I wasn't actually doing something harmful and that her interpretation is her own prerogative and her own thing to manage. But number two, when I go back and remember that, I can't see because I'm remembering through my own eyes. I can't see how inappropriate that was. Now, if I was able to go back to that memory and watch it from the third person, watch it like a movie, I would see an adult woman yelling at a 7-year-old child and applying all these advanced concepts like, not only did you know it would upset me, but you purposely implemented the sequence of events to cause me to feel the feelings that I feel. If you encountered an adult woman yelling at her 7-year-old and saying all those things to that child out in the wilds of your life now, you would be like, that lady clearly has issues. You would never blame the child. And yet we blame ourselves, even through our own memories, even via those old avenues, because we're like, oh, I should have known better. No, you actually shouldn't have. No, you shouldn't have. And it is never appropriate for an adult to emotionally manipulate and project their own shit all over their child. Now, don't listen to me say that, especially if you're a parent and think to yourself, oh my God, I'm so inappropriate and abusive and harmful. Like, just work on it. Just change it. Like, don't condemn yourself. That's just going to make it worse. Just be like, oh my God, I hadn't thought of it like that. Like, let me adjust. But I want you to realize that a lot of your memories of your trauma, you're applying your current knowledge to those moments. And you're like, why did I do that? I was terrible. No, you weren't. What if you were always doing the best you could with the information you had and the space that you were at in your life at any given moment, even when you've made big, giant mistakes? Like, even if you can remember a time when you, like, betrayed your best friend in middle school and it, like, messed up your whole friendship and everybody got mad at her and you feel really bad about it, for whatever reason, you did that for whatever reason you had at that time. You know better now, and that's a place for you to be like, oh my God, because of that, I'm never going to do something like that again. Give yourself credit for having had that growth, okay? But really check yourself with how you remember moments and really say to yourself, if I was watching this experience in the third person, how would I see it differently? Because I guarantee you, it will give you a slice of perspective that you really need to have when you're trying to heal and change and, like, not be so hard on yourself. Because this part is specifically to people who chronically beat themselves up and have negative self-talk and tell themselves they're so bad and horrible and reinforce those core negative beliefs about themselves. Okay, so, like, sit with this one. Now, here's the thing with the predestined and the everything happens for a reason scenario that I really want to be talking about today. I don't believe really in soul contracts, and I know that's, like, almost what's the word I want? Like, that's almost, like, not allowed, I guess, in spiritual communities. I know so many people are so attached to these ideas of soul contracts. We're going to go down there. We're going to have a life together. We're going to have a relationship. It's going to be really harmful, but it's for my highest good because I'm going to evolve because of it. And that's our soul contract. If it helps you a lot to accept the hard things that have happened to you, to hold that belief, like, go ahead and hold that belief. Like, I don't know if it's true or not. I just personally, I don't believe it for myself, right? This is because, like, I just don't think that we're on some outlined path of ascension and enlightenment and, like, we have to take XYZ steps and we have to, like, check XYZ check boxes in order to get to this, like, pre-contrived outcome. I just don't think that that's the case. You know, once my guides told me all paths lead to enlightenment, all paths. And that was a moment for me around judgment, because I would be judging people in my younger years for not doing the thing I thought they were supposed to be doing in the way I thought they were supposed to be doing it. Like, I would be like, oh, this person's made these choices. They're like a chronic cheater in relationships. They're a bad person. They're never going to get enlightened, whatever. I don't know if they're never going to get enlightened. I have no idea what's going to happen. Do I think that they're a bad person or displaying questionable ethics? Yeah. Do I want to associate with people like that? No. Are there tons of people in this world who make room for cheaters and will continue to associate with them? Yeah. Is it within my right to judge those people and say, oh, they're not spiritual, whatever? No. Because honestly, like, atheists can get to enlightenment. People who have no interest in spirituality at all can reach a state of their own personal form of enlightenment, whether they're seeking it or not. There is value in all paths, even if those paths don't resonate with us and have nothing to do with us. But I just find it really hard to believe that we're going to make these pacts with people to come down and harm each other or even to help each other. I really just don't buy into that, because there is a degree of free will that's taking place here. And think about the math involved in that, okay? Because people who are here, we're in a pool. And all those energetic molecules are interconnected. There's all these waves of interconnection that are taking place. And if anyone can make any choice at any time, that's going to alter those waves of interconnection pretty dramatically. The math of it all really doesn't make sense that we're like, we're going to meet up at this time in this place and have this kind of exact experience, because there's so many other factors that could go into play with what kind of experience we're going to definitely have. And so it just doesn't logically make any sense to me, because in order for this reality to even exist, it really is contingent upon a degree or an element of free will taking place here. We all have choices to make, and those choices derive certain outcomes. And I'm about to talk about that little more in a second, because this is something I just wrote about for my academy students and that we've been sort of like loosely discussing over there. And I just thought it would be a helpful topic here. And as a sidebar, like if you like conversations like this, please consider joining me in the Witchcraft Academy, because I really do have to say that like I've priced this thing for value. I've priced this thing for people to have access. I've priced this thing because I don't believe in gatekeeping really powerful and profound spiritual information. I don't believe that that kind of information should be behind a paywall that's too high for most people to access. It's not a reflection on how significant the content is. If you were in the academy and you went through all of the work that's there, you will change dramatically. And that's a fact. And I know that. It is because I know the value of my work that I have priced it so affordably. It is because I want everybody to have access to literal life-changing, soul-changing, like profound information that I have priced it the way that I have. And I do think that people undervalue things that are at an affordable price. And that is annoying to me, because that's what capitalism has taught us to do. And yo, step one is to like deconstruct the shit out of capitalism, because it's all lies. It's just all lies. So that's my sidebar there, because like if you're listening to this podcast, you are interested in spiritual development, soul development, comprehending the mysteries of the universe. Yo, all of that content is in the academy. And just because it is priced at an affordable point does not mean that you're not going to get a significant amount of information. I literally don't know any single expert in the field that would ever price an offering like this. You're talking 2.5 years of content that is all like earth-changingly huge, for real. Like, I'm not trying to be like, oh my God, I'm so great, whatever. But I do know my strengths, and I do know that I'm put on this earth for one specific reason, and I am a goddamn expert in that specific reason. And if I have something helpful to share, I am here in service. My entire existence is here to be of service to the collective. And the best way I know how to serve is to make my work available. So just food for thought over there on that one. But the math of soul contracts, it doesn't add up to me. And I am fundamentally a skeptic, and I am fundamentally someone who needs everything to make logical sense as well as like spiritual sense. And so like, I will regularly share and speak on the physics behind the spiritual lessons that I'm teaching. And that's because I want you to understand, like, not only do these things conceptually make sense, not only do these things emotionally make sense, not only do these things like spiritually make sense, but they also physically make sense as well. Okay. So like, just like tuck that in your pocket and allow it to sort of simmer there for you. Okay. I'm not saying, however, here that like there is no cause and effect, and that you're not kind of beholden to a specific outcome, right? Because like, how would we be able to read? How would psychics be able to read the energy of something if it's all random and it's all chaos and it's all like disconnected from each other? So the answer has to be on that gray zone, has to be somewhere in the in between. And here's what I want to say. I am kind of like being a little nitpicky about word choice, because I don't want to say that like everything has a purpose or everything leads you to a lesson. And what I have been saying for a long time is everything gives you an opportunity for a lesson. And that is true. I mean, objectively speaking, literally anything can give us an opportunity to learn or to do differently or to change in some capacity. And honestly, we always have to opt into that. And that's the other beef I have with like everything teaches you something. What if you don't opt into that lesson? How many times have you met a person and they've just acted completely wrong and you've been like, well, I'm going to do this and then they'll learn and then they don't learn? That's because they didn't choose to learn, friends. Like, they didn't choose to opt into that lesson. And we all know, like, repeated circumstances keep coming up and we're like, well, they're just going to keep getting this until they change. That is true. They are going to keep getting this until they change. But I don't believe that they're going to keep getting something until they change because they are meant to have that lesson. Here's what I actually think is going on. We are walking down certain paths that have been laid out before us based on the energetic manifestation of the physical choices we have made. I'm going to say it again. We are walking down certain paths that have been laid before us based on the energetic manifestations and the energetic footprints of the physical choices that we have made. Every action has a reaction. Whatever decision you make, it sets out an energy path in front of you. And it goes, okay, if this person makes this decision, these energetic situations are a result of this decision and how it unfolds, based also on the math of the energy around you at any given time. So if that's the case and it's taking into account all of those like other components and other factors, then it's like, okay, well, here's what's kind of going to happen. If nothing else shifts, if nothing else changes, if nothing else does anything differently, here's the trajectory that we're on. That is what psychics and intuitives are picking up on. They're looking like a certain amount into the future and they're saying, if nothing changes, if nothing shifts, here's where you're going. Here's the outcome you're heading towards. However, enter free will. As I said before, you can make any kind of choice at any given moment to do any kind of thing, and it will then alter the trajectory that you're on. The other additional, like, mind-bending part of this is, like, so can everybody else around you. A lot of our choices seem like they're a given or seem like they're a conclusion that's naturally drawn, but that's a lot of programming and, like, the constructs of society sort of guiding you in a specific way. But there is literally nothing that is preventing you from, like, taking off all your clothes and running naked down your street right now. It's just society, but that's an option. All things are an option to you at any given moment. Like, you could go quit your job. It won't make logical sense to do that. It'll set you up for a whole series of other situations, but you could do it. You could spend all day hanging upside down off of your bed. You could, like, turn your bedroom into your living room. Like, even the rooms in our house are pretty much predetermined for us, and we don't have that creativity about, like, where do I want to sleep? Do I want to sleep in the dining room? Because it doesn't have to be the dining room. It can be whatever the F kind of room I want it to be. There are choices. A lot of these choices are predetermined for us and we just don't question them whatsoever. And that can be really helpful, right? But it also can trick you into thinking that things are supposed to be a certain way. And that even feeds into everything happens for a reason. Everything's predetermined. Everything's predestined. I mean, I don't think that's actually true. I think that we all just have made similar choices and we've had to, like, on a collective scale, you have to kind of come to certain, like, conclusions with yourself in order to understand how society works and in order to live in harmony with other people. Like, we don't greet people by going up and slapping them across the face because that's a hostile greeting, and we've all kind of agreed to that premise, right? We've all kind of been like, yeah, that's not a good way to be, but it's still an option. All the options have, every action has a reaction, like there's going to be a response to it. But because of the fact that your choices sort of set you down an energetic pathway that is carved out based on the energy of your decision, it starts to feel like some of these things are predestined or predetermined or part of, like, what's supposed to happen. And it's a minor shift to go, that's not necessarily supposed to happen, but that is the energy pathway I'm choosing at this moment. But it makes a big difference because, number one, it centers the choice back on you. It also centers the responsibility back on you. And a lot of times we don't like that part of it, but responsibility is highly empowering. Responsibility means that you are in charge of your choices, and therefore you can be in charge of making other choices, and that's helpful. It takes the power away from some external source, whether that external source is like people who you think are judging you, people who you think are being mean to you, people who you think like are in charge of you, whatever. And it stops you also from feeling victimized by the universe itself or by some conscious figure who's like intervening with your life so hard that it's trying to force a lesson upon you. Because if you're in cycles of things happening, if you're like, this always happens, I'm always in the same relationship, I always end up like finding a person that reminds me of my dad and like blah, blah, blah. Like if you're in those kinds of cycles, that's you choosing the same familiar energetic pathway time and time again because it is comfortable. But self-work and therapy and all those things have taught us, oh, I can change that default. I can change that way of looking at things. I can do differently. And so I'm going to. And so in this way, we reclaim some of our sovereignty over ourselves and our own lives, because in a very real way, you are living in a bubble that is your own whole huge and dynamic universe unto itself. You are like master and commander of your own little universe bubble. But then you have to say to yourself, so is everybody else. And these little bubbles interconnect at points and they can influence their neighbors. And that's why we practice like disconnecting from people that are harmful. Because if we fully do the self work and we have boundaries and we disconnect from people that are harmful, our bubble moves somewhere else. And our bubble is therefore interconnected to people who are not harmful. And that proximity energy is helpful. That proximity energy sort of shifts the energy of our life and our world in certain ways. And it no longer draws in more of those like harmful bubbles, because we've like switched neighborhoods from the bubbles that do this thing to the bubbles that do that thing. And it's a little bit helpful and easier. And that's why I want you to like prune your friends lists on social media, prune your friend group in real life, prune the family members who don't uplift and support you. And in this way, we change our small world. And in this way, we change bigger worlds, because all of these little individual universes are very interconnected to each other. And they very much connect to, feed from, feed into, and shape these other worlds that we're kind of in, and also that we are not at all in, because we are responsible to and for our own little bubbles. Now, these energy paths that we start walking down, they do have natural places where they're going. And we can kind of see that, read it, and feel it, and think to ourselves, this is my path. This is my destiny. This is like the course that was laid out for me before I was even born, and all that stuff. And again, you can keep that perspective, because it is true that we are born with natural gifts and talents and propensities towards things. But it's also true that we had to opt into using those gifts, those talents, expanding them, feeding them. I mean, if I had spent as much time when I was little devoting my energy to playing the piano rather than devoting my energy to learning about spirituality and connecting to my guides, I might be a concert pianist right now. I might be a music person right now. It's because I chose to opt into one thing rather than the other that one gift expanded and the other one just sort of stayed like a mild interest, right? And so you have to also give yourself some credit for choosing to opt into expanding the things that you expanded and growing in the directions that you've grown. This is also helpful, because a lot of times we close doors for ourselves because we're like, oh, I spent all my time doing this thing and I never really expanded into that thing, so now I can't. Well, you actually can, because the evolution of our world is so powerful right now that like we're not spending all of our time like hunting and gathering or farming or feeding ourselves or having to go to bed when the sun goes down because we don't have electricity. Like, we have resources. We have so many resources at our fingertips that I actually think it's almost paralyzing to us to have this many resources because we don't know which to choose. But you can make a turn or a pivot at any point. No one cares. No one's going to be like, why are you learning the piano at 40 years old? Like, so what? Especially, like, most people, or at least the people that you want in your world, are going to be like, isn't it cool that they're learning how to play the piano at 40 years old? And then you might be inspired or inspiration to other people. We can't do it for that reason. But, like, we always judge ourselves with the worst case scenario, and we never think to ourselves, what if somebody thinks this is great? What if I think this is great? Because you honestly, this is also a mini sidebar. Whenever you find yourself like talking about what everyone's gonna think or what everyone feels, or like kind of telling yourself like, oh my God, people are gonna be like this or that about it, that's you judging yourself and projecting your self-judgment onto this concept of everyone. Because the truth is, there's no such thing as everyone. If there was, we would all be like in that collective unity space that we are, well, that I myself am wishing we were in, because that collective unity space is kind and accepting and like inviting and warm and makes room for everybody. But the fact that there are people who are very different than you, in all these different categories of very different from you, not even just the bad ones, but even the good ones, the fact that those kinds of people exist means that you're never going to have a situation in which everyone judges you or everyone thinks XYZ thing about you. Like, that's just not how it works, because there is no everyone. So if you're ever holding yourself back because of like, what will people think? And you're answering that question for yourself and you're like, oh, people will think XYZ thing. Hard check yourself, because that's you thinking XYZ thing about yourself and projecting it onto others so that you can stay paralyzed. Because we give more weight to many people's opinions than we do to just one person's opinion. And we also then have to look hard at ourselves if we're like, oh, this is just my fear, my opinion, my thing, my insecurity. Well, that's an invitation to fix it. But if we're too afraid to fix it, we just put it onto everyone and we make it so many people that we can't argue with them because it must be true. And we have literally like no evidence that everyone's ever going to think a thing about us. It's just a way of keeping ourselves safer, or the perception of being safer, because we are afraid to interact with the thing that we actually want to interact with. Okay. But so when you make a decision, an energy pathway opens up in front of you that is in alignment with that decision. It takes into account all the energy bubbles of the people around you, what trajectory they are on, what pathway they are on, what the potential alchemy of the future interactions is going to be. And it puts you on that path, and you can read so far into that path. But if anyone who has ever given you a reading that's worth their salt at all, they will tell you, I can read so far and I can only read based on the current circumstances, but all of this is subject to change based on choices and free will and the information that's coming in from other sources, etc. No prediction is 100% set in stone. And you know, some people consider that every time you make a decision, it fractions off into an alternate reality in which you made the other decision. And sometimes we can feel that happening, and sometimes we can't. And so there are like all these infinite choices. And that's also why sometimes you'll realize that you're encountering people from a different reality, because I do think some of them are kind of merging and collapsing into themselves, because perhaps there are just too many. I mean, the sheer number of people on this planet alone would fraction it off into so many directions. Or perhaps there's certain people whose the predominant amount of their choices have aligned with the world in which you've been in, but then like they started making other ones and now they've kind of merged into your reality, but with some slight modifications, or a version of them from a different reality way more aligns with this current reality, and they've just brought their old selves with them into this current reality that is in alignment more with where they're at now. But this is a whole topic for a different conversation. I just really wanted to discuss the fact that I really don't feel or think that it makes any logical sense that things are happening for some contrived reason. And the word contrived there is important, because contrived implies that there's some force that is like, let me puppet master, let me orchestrate these circumstances in order to create this certain outcome. It's almost like we think that there's some guiding force that's watching us and is like shifting us around like we're little chess pieces on the board because it wants us to get to some point. And it might be scary for me to say to you, like, that's not how I think it goes. Do I think that the universe is a sentient, conscious, living being? Yes, 100%. There's a lot of evidence for that. Do I think that this sentient, conscious, living being is aware of us? Most likely, yes, on a really higher scale level. Like when we get out of reality, when we're not even attached to the universe, because I got to say, the universe itself is still some type of projection of spirit. The universe is not a part of the astral plane, and it also is, but it's also not connected to, it's not source energy. It's not that oneness. It's not that thing where literally everything is contained and it is spirit. That is a neighboring and connected realm, but the universe itself being tangible, it is not the be all end all. Spirit is that. And so even the universe itself as a sentient living being, because each planet itself, in my opinion, is a sentient living being. Like this life energy expands up all the way to the biggest thing you can imagine. But yo, it also expands down all the way to the smallest things you can imagine, because inside your physical body are whole ecosystems of living things, and they are not aware of you, but in a way they might be, in the same way that we are aware of our solar system and our planet. And you are loosely aware of them, but you have no idea what their like little like bacteria societies are like down there. You understand what I'm saying? And so there's so much life, so many universes, so many ecosystems happening that are they all alive? Are they all like driven by some form of like consciousness? I would say yes. Does that mean that any of them has the capacity to like puppet master your life? I would say no. And that might sound scary to you because then a lot of like responsibility falls on you. And yet that was always true. A lot of responsibility does fall on you, which remember is both empowering and frightening at the same time. But if there is a conscious being that is aware of us and watching us in some way, that would be spirit or source energy. And that's like that astral plane that is laid on top of us, but it is not this plane. So yeah, can that plane and the beings that live within that plane, can it interact with us and watch us? Absolutely. Like we know that to be so. Would it choose to influence, direct, and guide our experiences for some contrived outcome? To that, I'm going to say no, because spirit would only separate itself into some version of reality in order to experience it. And in order to experience it, it can't really interfere with it. Like, not if it's going to truly try to have the experience, interference is not a part of that. Now, the gray zone, okay, stick with me here. If one end of the spectrum is spirit and that's everything, the other end of the spectrum is reality and that's separation from spirit and separation from everything. The middle ground there is consciousness, yes, but it is also the spiritual astral plane where our guides, our deceased loved ones, our ancestors, all of the spiritual components that influence us, that's where that resides. And that is in the middle. So just as our guides like do care about what happens to us, they do try to support us and help us, just as our passed on loved ones and ancestors can still communicate with us, can still be in touch with us, they're in that in-between astral plane that is draped and laid across the plane that we're currently in our tangible reality right now. There is a consciousness for them as well that is still attached to a sense of separateness, but it's way closer to the sense of unity that we are talking about trying to get back to in some way or another, or that source energy that holds the everything. And so you're here making choices. Those choices send you down a path. That path is connected to the lessons that you have learned and the trajectory that you're on for the lessons that you're continuing to learn. Is it preordained that you're going to learn those lessons? No. Does it show up in the fact that, like, if you stay on this path, you're going to continue to be on this path and therefore have similar experiences? Well, yeah, that's like just physics and science. The place that you're at is going to continue to be the place that you're at. Your choices get you moved to a different place. And I just think this is important to consider because I want you to feel more empowered. I want you to feel more connected to yourself. I want you to realize that every decision you make has an influence on your life, and you can shift to different spaces. You can shift to different little mini worlds that exist right here in this world that we're in. These are positive things. Just because they're terrifying doesn't mean they're not positive. Just because we have to lose things doesn't mean that we don't gain things as well. The things we gain will be different and unfamiliar to us the higher that we go on our own self-work, but different doesn't mean bad. New doesn't mean bad. Scary doesn't mean bad. It just means that we're really doing that work and shifting to somewhere else. And that somewhere else can only become familiar if we interact with it more. Does this resonate? Because like we have to make ourselves more comfortable in new situations because that is where our new comfort zone is going to be, okay? And so I just want us to understand, like, we have more power, we have more autonomy, we have a more of a say in our lives. Does it require interaction with, like, the lane in which we were born into and the fact that maybe that lane never really matched us to begin with, so we've had to drag ourselves into different lanes, different paths, different roads? Yes. And then I want to talk really quick too about the fact that like spell work can help us to shift into a different path. Self work and spell work are the only ways we can change our paths. Spell work can draw forth those other paths, put them closer to us, rearrange the gears behind the scenes to put another path closer to us. But you know, I'm always like, act in alignment with your spells, like live in alignment with the outcome that you want. That's because I need you to physically step onto that new path when it becomes presented to you. And you can break your own spells by not living in alignment with those spells. So spell work will make things easier, but we always have to opt into those things. And so in this way, we can predestine ourselves with our spell work by being like, I'm going to be on this path of like true love. It summons that true love path over to you, but you got to then do the part that's like, why am I terrified of true love? Or what do I have to change to get onto that path? And you might have to walk on like five little paths in between your current space and the path of true love. You might have to go on little mini side quests of like healing yourself and fixing your problems and like learning how to live in alignment with what you say you want. But the spell work will drag it closer to you, and then it will illuminate for you what's keeping you off that path. But you got to go ahead and do that thing, right? And so I think that it's important for you to understand how much influence you have over your own life, and that things aren't just like flying at you and traumatizing you to teach you something necessarily. The nature of the universe is both organized and chaotic. And because we are interconnected to other people's bubbles, and because we are sort of like disconnecting from other people's bubbles, when we start doing self-work and spiritual work, it can kick up a lot of drama. It can kick up a lot of chaos because we are consciously choosing to relocate ourselves. And there's always resistance in change because, you know, objects in motion stay in motion. Objects at rest stay in rest. This concept is telling us that things kind of tend to just do what they're doing. If you're not going to outside influence it, everything's just kind of on the trajectory that it's on. Self-work and spell work are applying an outside influence to a thing that's already on a certain trajectory. That is a friction. That is a collision. That is a big change. That is pulling something off of something else. That kicks up dust. And the dust that gets kicked up here in this reality is like chaos and drama. And so you might find that you have more chaos and drama the more that you're doing. Again, that might not be a bad thing because you are transforming and changing. You are taking an object at rest and you're putting it into motion, or you're taking something that was already going a certain way and you're turning a different course. And in order to make that turn, you might intersect, overlap, or disrupt someone else's bubble that was attached to you and yours. And they might lash out at you, or things might explode, or chaos might ensue. And that's just a part of the collateral damage that happens when we start to change. But the more that you can be in alignment with who you truly are, center on your truest self, center on your own trajectory, your own personal predetermined path that you have decided you want to get on, the more you can manage that chaos and the fallout of all the stuff that shifts around as you shift around. And it's really hard not to take it personally. And it's really hard not to feel beaten up by the world and the universe and other people. But that's why you have to really center in yourself so hard and realize that everybody's making their own choices based on themselves. Think back to the example I gave you in the beginning of the episode where my mother might be giving me feedback that's really harmful to me at the time, but you can see in the telling of that story that that feedback had nothing to do with me. Other people's chaos frequently has nothing to do with you. We have to zoom out and observe it and watch it like a movie to remind ourselves, oh, this is somebody else's bubble having a big response to the movement of my bubble. But that's about them. They can manage their own bubble. Let me check in with myself. Am I right with myself? Do I agree with what I'm doing? Do I feel in alignment with my own personal integrity? If so, like, keep it moving, sis, because like other people have to manage themselves. And a lot of the times we abandon our own little universe. We abandon our own sphere. We abandon our own bubble to go get really heavily involved in somebody else's bubble. And that doesn't serve us. And it also doesn't serve them. So this is just my food for thought for today. I just really wanted to pop in and discuss this because, like I said, I had chatted about it in the academy. And it was something that I found like a perspective change that I thought would be helpful. And again, if you don't like this, and if you're like, no, I like soul contracts, no, I want to believe that things happen for a very specific reason to teach me something, yo, just ignore everything I've just said here. You got to do what works for you. Never, ever let anybody else tell you that the thing that feels right to you is wrong. Because like that's not going to help you. That's just going to freeze you, pause you, and get you stuck. Unless or until you can sit there with a detachment emotionally from it and examine it almost like philosophically or scholarly and decide if you want to change your own mind, because that's where the power centers back in you. You got to opt into changing your own mind, because anything else is just feeling like someone shaming you, and shame never creates positive outcomes unless or until we try to change our own mind and create like a different perspective. I hope this was a helpful conversation for you. I hope that you are all doing very well. I will pop back because I have a couple more things to chat about with you in the near future. And I really am grateful for you for listening. And I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you like my podcast, please give it a share or send it to someone else that you think might like it. You can also always hit me up with questions or comments by emailing me at headwitch@moonstonewitchery.com. And I would love to chat with you. So I hope that you all have an absolutely beautiful and blessed day. And oh, last thing, I did start my new podcast, which is a weekly astrology update. It goes with my weekly astrology emails. They are called Sky Gossip with Rian. And it's the podcast and the e-letter where I just chat with you about what's going on with the astrology for the week. I do it in a really relatable way. And we figure out how like all their drama up there is going to impact us down here. And it's a fun little podcast. So you can check that out. I don't think I'm on Apple yet because that's a whole ass situation to get over there. But maybe I am. But give it a search, Sky Gossip with Rian. And I will talk to you all soon.